जा बिहारी। गोपी चंद बाबा भागी रहनारी, गोपी चंद बाबा भागी रहनारी। यशरनंदन यशरनंदन गज चंद्रंजन, कमल चीरकन छाया, कमल चीरकन छाया। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada Jaya, 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 Prabhupada Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pavajakacharya Atatari Sati Shoshiman Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pavajakacharya Atatari Sati Shoshiman Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Ki. Namachari Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Bhagavad Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shri Vasti Dagora Bhaktivedanta Ki. Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Radharani Ki, all glories assemble devotees, all glories assemble devotees, all glories assemble devotees, all glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, 37th verse. I'll just read through it, read the purport, because it's not up anywhere. So, Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, if you know it, you can just say it along with me. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava, Mahashano, Mahapatma, Vijinami, Havarinam. Anybody want to chant it if they know it? The word for word, Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, the personality of God had said, Kama, lust, Esha, this, Krodha, wrath, Esha, this, Rajaguna, the mode of passion, Samudbhava, born of, Mahashana, all devouring, Mahapatma, greatly sinful. Vidhi, no. Imam, this. Iha, in the material world. Varinam, greatest enemy. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So you can repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk is in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity. And it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the spirit material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. If therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of God had expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutta, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jignasya, one should inquire into the Supreme. And the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmadyasya Yato Navyad Itarascha. The origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Ram, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ravan. But by doing so, he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon his enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies. So I was actually scheduled to give this class quite a while ago, but Prahlad Damodar Maharaj came, and so I let him take my time, so then I was scheduled again for today. There's no Sunday feast, but I was inspired to give this particular lecture when I read the interview with Srila Prabhupada and the lieutenant of police in Chicago, Lieutenant Mosey. And as I read the interview with Prabhupada and lieutenant, I just wanted to do a little research because I thought it was so amazing how Prabhupada was answering this lieutenant. So in the purport here, we see that originally we had pure love of God, and due to causeless envy, you know, we decided to come to this material world. And Prabhupada gives the analogy of milk that's tainted by sour tamarind, and it turns into yogurt. And he explains that the mind and the intelligence are the sitting place of so many ideas, especially the mind, ideas for sense gratification. So when we come to the material world, we're looking for ways to satisfy our senses, although Krishna says that lust, it burns like fire and it can never be satisfied. So no matter how much sense gratification we try to find, that living entities try to find, it's never satisfying. And it's just like if you have a big fire and you keep on pouring fuel on it, it just gets bigger and bigger. So there are actually some philosophies that say that just engage as much sense gratification as you can, and eventually you'll get tired of it. But the Bhagavad Gita explains that this isn't really possible, that lust just increases. And in following verses from this verse, 337, Prabhupada actually analyzes how the living entity is covered. He explains that it's like fire covered by smoke, and that's the human being. It's like a covering, but you can kind of see through it. And Prabhupada explains that the living entity, that he has this chance, has this incredible chance to get out of the material world, you know, by using his propensity to serve Krishna and elevating himself. And then the next covering is like a mirror that's covered by dust. And this he compares to like animals who don't really have any, what chance do they have of inquiring, atato brahma jignasya, acquiring like, well, who am I and where am I and how do I get out? They don't really have that opportunity unless they're very special living entities. Like you see some pets of devotees who are very special. They get prasadam, and you know they're given lots of attention by their devotee masters. Like, or like Shivananda Sain's dog, who, because he was fed coconut pulp from Lord Chaitanya, immediately rose to the spiritual world. But those are the exceptions. Generally, there's not much of a chance for animals to be able to elevate themselves. And then the last analogy he gives is the embryo in the womb, which is very much covered. And he compares this to trees, you know, that trees, because of their activities and because of their desire, they are put into this position of a tree where they can't even move, what to speak of inquire. There was the one exception of the two devotees who, because of their exposing themselves with no clothes, they were cursed to stand as trees. But because they were actually also great sages, Krishna promised that he would deliver them at some time. But again, this is an exception. So the human form of life that we have is so rare. And, you know, in one sense, Prabhupada explains that we're all criminals. You know, we all have that criminal mentality. Actually, we wear our uniform. Our prison uniform is our material body. Just like sometimes you'll see the prisoners working out on the road, and they'll have like a bright orange uniform on, and the warden's sitting back in the van, and he's watching to make sure that nobody is going to run away. And we may think that, well, you know, I'm pretty pious, and that's fine. But again, we do have our prison uniform, which is a material body, which proves that we came here to try to enjoy our senses. But luckily, after so much trying, you know, and frustration, realizing we can't really become happy through sense gratification, we've come to the lotus feet of the Lord. So as Prabhupada and Lieutenant Mosey were speaking, Lieutenant Mosey was asking, you know, why are there criminals? Like Prabhupada said, the difference between a criminal and a pious man is that one has a pure heart and the other one has an impure heart. And Prabhupada explains that there's no way, no matter how much punishment you give and how many stringent laws are employed, that these prisoners are never going to be able to clean their heart. And you hear about that, how in prison there's so much nonsense. There's like, you can pretty much get whatever you want. You can get drugs in prison, you can get whatever you want in prison, and they're just very, very, very miserable. Soon I'm going to read to you some excerpts from a prisoner's testimony in a Florida prison that received the books that Bhakti Lata Mataji sent to him. She's in charge of the IPM, the ISKCON Prison Ministry. And she sends books and japa beads to any prisoners that want them. These books are in libraries everywhere. And one prisoner's response. So this lieutenant is asking Srila Prabhupada so many questions. And Prabhupada is saying, you are also criminals. You came to this land of America, but there were also people already living here. And you chased them off the land, and you took over the land. You know, the Indians were put in special camps. And Prabhupada said, actually, this land belongs to everyone. This land belongs to Krishna. So it's unfortunate that people don't understand that. And there's always all this fighting over land. Prabhupada quoted the verse, each of us sambidam sarvam yakin cha jagat jam jagat jena chaktena bunchita madhvita kasha swidhanam, that everything that is animate and inanimate is owned and controlled by the Lord. Knowing this, one should accept only those things that are necessary, set aside as his quota, and one should not accept things that are not necessary, knowing full well to whom they belong. So Lieutenant Mosey is asking, well, what can we do to help these prisoners, these criminals? What can we do? And Prabhupada said, you need to start massive sankirtan, and you need to have massive prasadam distribution, chaitra darpana marjanam, that this sankirtan movement can cleanse the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. It's a life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. And it gives a full taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. So Lieutenant, I think, was very surprised at this advice, but throughout the interview, he was also very respectful and often saying to Prabhupada, I don't mean any disrespect by asking some of these questions. Prabhupada was very patient with him, and he was very appreciative at the advice that Prabhupada was giving of how to change these criminals. And he asked, well, where would you want to start this activity? Would you want to start it in a poor section of the city? And Prabhupada said, why? He said, are you trying to say that there's no criminal activity with the richer citizens? He said, no, I'm not saying that. And Prabhupada said, just like in a hospital, you know, you have a disease and you go to the hospital, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, they treat the poor man and they treat the rich man. So by the same token, Prabhupada said that this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, that it can cure the disease of lust. It can stop this burning fire of lust. Prabhupada also says by crying out to Krishna, by crying out to Radha, that they can help us to quell this very blazing fire. So at the end of the interview, Prabhupada insisted that this was, and asked them, he said, you know, we're going to continue our program of distributing prasadam and of mass sankirtan, but we'd be able to do it on such a much bigger scale if you facilitated us. And Lieutenant said, I will take this information and I will give it to my superiors. And he said, I'm sure they will be touched as I've been touched. You're so special. So, you know, here we are, so many years later. This was happening in 1970s when this interview was given. And we've seen the effects of this Sankirtan activity. You know, recently Pushkar Prabhu was showing me how in Atlanta, so many young devotees are distributing books. And I know, remember when we went out in Sankirtan, we would have, you know, one or two books that we would show the people. But these devotees are so fired up, they give a stack of like 7 or 8 books and they go up to people. And there was photograph after photograph of these people receiving the books and so ecstatic to receive them. Because I think now more than ever, people are very frustrated. You know, it's difficult. So many people are dying. And everyone's faced with their own mortality. And so we want to, it's a time when we can touch people's hearts by giving them this information, and that they can actually take it and cleanse their heart. So all these things are going on. And, you know, even in the time of the Pandavas, I was reading where someone had written that Dhritarashtra, that he dishonored his high post and caused the death of millions of people. Why? Because his heart became covered with envy of the Pandavas. He listened to his son Dhritarashtra, who was also full of envy of the Pandavas. And even though originally Dhritarashtra loved the Pandavas and he was a guardian of the Pandavas, he became swayed under this envy and this lust. And he tried to not only take the fortune of the Pandavas, he tried to take their lives, but was ultimately unsuccessful. But Prabhupada said that he found an antidote to the crimes of a lifetime and became self-realized, which is very hard to do, especially at the end of life. But he took to the process due to the counseling of Vidura, and he was able to purify his heart. So, like ourselves, you know, we're all different degrees and all different phases of life, but we can take this formula very seriously, this Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandanam, Parisevanam, Dasyare. We can take this process of devotional service, you know, hearing, chanting, remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, offering him respectful worship, offering him prayers, becoming his servant, becoming Krishna's best friend. We have so many examples in the scriptures of famous devotees like King Ambarish, who is known for following all the processes, all the 9 processes of devotional service. Every one of them he employed. But Prabhupada said it's not necessary for us to necessarily follow all 9, but if we begin with hearing. And he emphasized that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important form of hearing. That's why Prabhupada instituted hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class daily, you know, every day that we would hear in that way. So hearing and chanting. And once you hear, then you want to chant about the glories, you know, the fame, form, the pastimes of the Supreme Person of God. Actually, there's a beautiful verse. Maybe you can repeat it, Pushkar. Tadvag Vishargo, can you? Yeah, and can you give us a translation of that as well? Yeah, can you give us a translation for that verse? Can you say the translation for that verse? Yeah. Actually, okay, I have it right here, the translation. Yeah, it says that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Person of Godhead is a different creation full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution and the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Each transcendental literature, even if imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who were thoroughly honest. So this is what we've very fortunately have come upon and are able to take part in and share in. So I wanted to read something from the IPM, the ISKCON Prison Ministry newsletter. It actually brought tears to my eyes when I read it, because how this prisoner has been transformed. So this prisoner has been in prison for 20 years, and at the time of writing this, which was probably a couple years ago, he is in solitary confinement for 2 years, which means he has no association. He did something, and so he's being punished by being in solitary confinement for 2 years. And this is what he wrote. I want to thank you again. He's thanking Bhakti Lata, who is the head of the ISKCON Prison Ministry in Florida, for all you've done to rescue me from suffering in this material existence. I have 10 months left in this solitary confinement, and I am set and determined to learn as much as I can about the Supreme Absolute Truth and his pastimes, because I want to make it my life's mission that others in my situation can experience the peace and happiness of Krishna consciousness with freedom from fear, stress, and anxiety of the world and of prison life. This age-old science answers all of life's mystery while giving freedom, peace, happiness, and showing us how to love God. It is so perfect for all people, especially those men and women who are incarcerated and bereft of hope and in need of love and guidance. Prison life would be so much more peaceful and productive with Krishna consciousness available to the inmate population. I've been in the Florida Department of Corrections for 20 years and never met a practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, a Krishna conscious person. And I have studied religion and the esoteric for those 20 years. The first time I read the Bhagavad Gita as it is, I knew I had finally found what I've always been searching for. And all the other books of His Divine Grace that I have read and studied have only reinforced that notion. I've never really wanted to give up intoxicants, gambling, meat, fish, eggs, or sex, but now I hate those things. I'm studying many books by His Divine Grace, Swami Prabhupada, and learning a great deal about the science of the soul, love of God, and the absolute truth. I pray this will qualify me to inform others of this wonderful science without being an offender. In this science, God gives the answers to all of life's mysteries with authority, and I've never felt such peace, happiness, or the love and presence of God. I must share that. Chant and be happy in this Kali Yuga. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Bhakti Dasi, I've enclosed another approval form for the Japa beads. With the 10 months I have left in solitary, just me and the Supreme Lord Krishna, I can chant 16 rounds a day and cleanse the filth from my heart and prepare me for my mission and to spread Krishna consciousness in the Florida prison system. This Krishna consciousness movement has me actually happy to be in prison, to spread this science to those who need it most. I've been blessed to be doing solitary confinement so I can learn Krishna consciousness without distractions or interference. All the books you sent me reinforce what I've learned from my Bhagavad Gita. I study constantly, and I believe Krishna guides me. I hear through the Divine Grace's purports. I read, I pray, I remember. The book that gave me the most knowledge is Teachings of Queen Kunti, the newest knowledge. I've never been so at peace or felt so close to God. I've never felt happier, especially giving up meat, intoxicants, gambling, sex. I want to learn as much as I can so I may spread this peace and happiness to others in my situation. I can only wish someone could have shown me this path years ago. This path that does not require blind faith. I used to feel sorry for myself for my imprisonment, for the loss of wealth and support, the loss of my family. But Krishna has shown me that I've lost all of that so I may gain him. Because of my arrogance and ignorance, I would have never sought the absolute truth. I'm at peace, And thank God Krishna for my loss, because the more I lose, the more I gain Hare Krishna. I'm currently in what is called close management. It's a punishment of about 2 years of complete isolation, which has helped me find myself and Krishna. But I can help to spread the message till I get out off Siam. I would like to use this time to get as much knowledge and growth in Krishna consciousness as I can to prepare me to help others find peace. This is the first holiday season in some years that I have not been lonely and depressed. Thank you so much for the Freedom Newsletter. It answered a question I had about how to fast, and the calendar showed me the Ekadasi days of the month. It was also nice to see part of my letter in this issue. I learned in the letters from other Florida inmates that I can find the audio track of His Divine Grace chanting japa on our electronic tablets, Hare Krishna. And the Back to Godhead magazine I received warmed my heart. I pray to be able to answer others' questions and be an example of Krishna consciousness. I'm still getting distracted while chanting, and I feel that japa beads will assist me greatly by including the hand sense of touch and helping to focus the turbulent mind on the task. I give my respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prescribing this method in the age of Kali. I give my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace for bringing the science to the West, and by His books being our instructional guru. All glories to them. Supreme Divine Lord Krishna, I am all yours. You are my only refuge and support. Protect me, guide me, have pity on me, my Lord, and kindly remove some of the Maya so I may receive guidance from within, or kill me as you see fit or wish, for I am a soul surrendered unto you. I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate all the support I've gotten from you and IPM. The most precious gift is the true knowledge I've gained from the books written by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For if it was written by Divine Grace, then it was spoken by Krishna as it is. So what's our excuse that this personality is so determined to become a pure devotee of the Lord? Of course, he doesn't have a lot of choices, and he explains when he came out of solitary confinement and was back into a situation where he could speak with other prisoners, that right away another prisoner came up to him and gave him some drugs. He said, I don't want this anymore. He said, well, just keep it. You can sell it to somebody, and that way you'll have money to buy what you want. He said, no, I don't want it at all. I want nothing to do with it. And then someone came up with him with a nasty book, you know, pornography. He said, which is very difficult to get in prison. He gave it to him. He said, no, I don't want this. And he's praying to Krishna, please make me strong. So, and he's realizing that all of his life has set him up for being able to find the absolute truth. And that's true of all of us. Everything we're going through, all the obstacles that we face, that Krishna is personally setting them up for us, you know, to help us become closer to Him. And it's hard sometimes. We don't understand why we've lost someone we love, or why, you know, we've lost our fortune, whatever it may be. But for a devotee, Krishna is so personally involved, you know, to help you come back home, back to God, to help us come back home, back to Godhead. I have one other short story that I loved. Let me just read this one. It's about another prisoner. So he says, as you know, I'm in the military veterans unit. A few months ago, one of my buddies visited my living area a few times. Whenever he would visit, he would stare at the pictures on my altar, especially that of Krishna. Whenever he would do this, I would ask him, what's up? And he would just say he was just looking. Mind you, this buddy of mine is a combat-hardened paratrooper. Of course, being a paratrooper, he cannot be totally sane, considering he willingly jumped out of a perfectly good aircraft, fully loaded down with gear, into a hot zone and loved doing it. So anyway, this macho warrior was again staring at Krishna's picture, and out of nowhere, my buddy says, that blue chick is hot. I busted out laughing, and he looked at me confused. He said, what? She is hot looking. This caused me to laugh even more, and again he asked, what? This time with a little more panic in his voice. I finally managed to say, well, that blue chick is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God, and he is known as Krishna, which means all attractive. I went back to laughing, as his reaction was a moment of shock, well hidden unless you knew him. So anyway, he then begins staring again at Krishna, cocks his head, and then straight deadpan says, well, he's still hot, and smiles a huge grin at me. Since my buddy was so attracted to Krishna, I gave him two of those mantra cards with the Maha Mantra on the back, one with a picture of Krishna and one with a picture of Radha Krishna. Well, anyway, a few weeks ago, my buddy is sorting through and packing what he was taking to go home as he was leaving. At one point, he takes these two pictures he had put up on the inside of his locker door and said to all of us gathered nearby that he had to take, I'm going to take Krishna, my hot-looking god, with me. I realized that just how attractive Krishna truly is to everyone, no matter their background, even battle-hardened macho warriors like my buddy. Jai Shri Krishna. So, these are like amazing stories, and I was thinking how important for us it is to be serious about this process and about cleansing our heart. And as I was reading about, how to cleanse the heart, but, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaram, Vadanam, it explains how Haridas Thakur, he was such a perfect devotee. He had all good qualities. And even though he was being tested by Maya Devi personified, he was able to resist all of that because Param Drishta Nivartati had a higher taste. Where you take somebody like Vishvavita Muni, who is a mystic yogi, who was practicing yoga for hundreds and hundreds of years under the water, but one day when he saw two fish engaged in sex, his mind became agitated. He ended up coming out of the water and going to find a wife. So he ended up having many wives and lots of opulence. Of course, at the end, he also wasn't satisfied. But it shows the difference between having mystic power and having the kind of power that Haridas Thakur had from being totally surrendered to Lord Krishna. And having all the good qualities, like it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one who is a devotee, one who becomes a pure devotee, that he develops all the good qualities that Krishna has, in a smaller quantity. Also, I was remembering a conversation that Prabhupada had with a business magnate. He was walking with the devotees on a morning walk, and he was inquiring from this big business magnate what he did, what his profession was. So this man said, "Oh, I make glass." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you're stealing sand from Bhagavan." And the man was kind of shocked. He kind of actually dropped back in the group of devotees, and they walked on. And then the man came up again, and he said, "Prabhupada," he said, "I'm just taking a little sand." So that's our position. If we're not understanding what we get, and whether we're a big thief or a little thief, we have to understand. I reread a story with more detail of a Brahmana who was hearing a discourse of very elevated souls, and they were discussing how to worship the deity with great opulence. They were wealthy. They had lots of beautiful altar with lots of beautiful paraphernalia to worship the Lord. And this particular Brahmana, Prabhupada said, he was poverty stricken, but not dissatisfied. And I love that. Poverty stricken, but not dissatisfied. So most people that are poverty stricken are not satisfied. Even people who aren't poverty stricken, who have enough to eat, enough clothes to wear, they're usually also dissatisfied. Even billionaires and millionaires who don't need to make more money are always trying to acquire more. So this particular Brahmana, at the end of the discourse, one of the Brahmanas was describing that you could mentally worship the deity. So he became so excited, this devotee. that he went home, and he every day he would, in his mind, clean the entire temple. He would go to the Godavari River with golden and silver pots and would fill them with all the sacred waters, and he would go back and bathe the deity. And then he would worship them and dress them and decorate them with beautiful paraphernalia. And he did this for years. He did this for years in his mind, becoming so happy and satisfied with his worship. And then one day he was making the sweet rice, and we all know this part. He put the sweet rice in a golden bowl, and he wanted to check and see that it was cool enough to offer to his deities. He put his finger in and then quickly took it out and saw it was burned, and he was lamenting, oh, my finger, it's burned. And Krishna looked, and Krishna smiled, and the goddess of fortune was like, what are you smiling about? And he said, my devotee mentally worshiped me for so many years, just burned his finger with the perfection of his worship. Go down and get him. So he was brought up, and he was given a position living near Krishna, Samipya, that he had was able to live near the Lord and really perfect his devotional service. So these qualities, you know, we want to perfect ourselves. So I thought I could just read quickly through the qualities that we're expected to have and maybe oftentimes fall short. As I read through the qualities, I thought, wow. Number one is kind to everyone. Okay, so living with devotees and being in a temple situation, so many times, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and we may become frustrated with one another. But here Prabhupada says, kind to everyone. Doesn't make anyone his enemy, no matter what. It said Yudhisthira was known because his enemy was never born. Truthful always, and sweet speech. In the Bhagavad Gita it says we should never agitate people with our words. Even if we have something correction to make, I always remember learning about the sandwich. And the sandwich means that, let's say somebody does something wrong dressing the deities, that he dresses the deities at night by putting on necklaces on the small deities, and they're not supposed to have any jewelry. So instead of going up and saying, Prabhu, don't you know that, you're not saying, Prabhu, I love the way you dress the deities, but make sure next time you don't put a necklace on the small deities. They don't wear any jewelry at night. But wow, the way you put those chatters on, they look so graceful. So there's a way that we can offer instruction and be truthful, but also be kind, equal to everyone. I was recently reading where Prabhupada said, you know, there's no big devotees. You know, we're all just like with Lord Ram, and Hanuman was kind of disregarding the work of a spider who was also trying to help build the wall with putting his pebbles. And Hanuman was like, I just forget about it. You know, Lord Ram was, no, he's doing as much as you are. He's using his energy in the service of the Lord. A devotee, no one can find fault with him. He's magnanimous. He's charitable, not only with his money, but also with his time, with other people, with new devotees, with devotees who are having trouble. A devotee is mild. A devotee is clean. He's without possessions, or at least without unnecessary possessions. He works for the benefit of all. Par upakar, the very highest welfare work, distributing Prabhupada's books. He's always peaceful, surrendered to Krishna. Meek, he's steady, nishta. He controls his senses. He doesn't eat more than required. He's not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy because he's always serving the Lord's internal energy. He offers respect to all. He doesn't desire respect for himself. He doesn't become offended easily. It's so easy, I know for myself, to become offended by someone's unkind words or unkind, you know, actions. But here it says, ideally, we don't desire respect for ourselves. We're servants of Krishna. We're giving everyone thing to Krishna. If there needs to be some punishment, we can know that Krishna will do it. We don't have to get involved. I heard once the expression, if you go after a skunk, you end up smelling too. So instead of, you know, punishing someone who's done something wrong, we know, unless we're in a position where it's our job to do that. A devotee is grave, A devotee is friendly, he's poetic, he's expert, and he's silent. So of course, we know that silence means that we don't talk nonsense. We try to talk as much as possible about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, Krishna's paraphernalia, and Krishna's devotees. So I have one more story, which I think you'll like. I super love this story, because I was trying to keep into the theme of crime, and I was thinking of, you know, okay, Krishna was also a thief, Krishna was a butter thief, and I came upon this story about Krishna and Radha, since it's their appearance day tomorrow, and Lalita Sakhi, the gopi whose appearance day it is today. So Lalita is 27 days older than Radha, even though the way it is this year is that her appearance day is today and Radha's is tomorrow because of the way the planets are. So the way this story goes is that Radharani was coronated the queen of Vrindavan, officially coronated. And Radharani and the gopis, they all signed up for positions. The gopis signed up for positions to help to run and protect the state of Vrindavan. So Lalita Sakhi Gopi, she was given the position of being the prime minister. And other gopis are given other positions, but Krishna heard about it, and Krishna came up and said, I want to have a position. I want to have the position of chief constable so that I can go and I can make sure that everything's peaceful in Vrindavan. Like there's no thievery, no disturbance, and I can chant the glories of Radharani all day. So Lalita was like, okay, we'll fill out your application and we'll see if you're qualified. So they all got together and they reviewed the application. They decided that Krishna was qualified to do this. So they gave him a turban, they gave him a uniform, they gave him a golden wand, and that was his job. So every day he would go out and he would go around and he would chant the glories, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And the devotees were so happy hearing the glories of Radharani. And everything was peaceful. But one day, and Krishna had to report regularly about his activities, what he was doing. So one day he came back to report his activities and he took his flute and he hid it underneath Lalita's veil, unbeknownst to Lalita. And he gave his report about how everything was pretty peaceful in Vrindavan, but in a very soft voice he said, but someone stole my flute. And Lalita Vishaka wrote, what? Vishaka said, oh, thank you. Maybe we'll get some sleep tonight. Which I thought was hilarious that she said that. And Lalita said, what? You're the constable? And somebody stole your flute? She said, hand in your resignation. That's ridiculous. You're fired. You're not the constable anymore. So Krishna said, you know, the thing is, I'm pretty sure that one of the supreme members of the court stole my flute. So I think all the gopis should have to open up their veil and reveal if they took the flute or not. So each of the gopi opened their veil, and when Lalita Sakhi opened up her veil, the flute fell out. And Krishna's like, ha-ha, see? You're the one that stole my flute. And Krishna was like, no, you should resign from your position. You should resign from your position. Lalita said, you just want to take my position. You need to go in front of Radharani right now and say to Radharani and vow to her that you didn't put the flute under my veil. So it says that Krishna, trembling, went up to Radharani and folded his hands and explained the situation and what had happened. And Radharani said, oh, Nanda, Nandana, you made me dance. You're the one that made me the queen of Vrindavan. Can you, Pushkar, can you open that up for her, the door? You made me the queen of Vrindavan. She said, please come up and sit next to me. So Krishna went up and sat next to her. And it said that Krishna wanted to proclaim for then and all time that the only reason that he could sit on the throne was Radharani's mercy. So thus ends the class of criminals and redeemed criminals and the extent of the mercy of the devotees and the mercy of Radharani. Thank you so much for listening, those who are here, those who might be listening online. Does anybody have any question or comment about it? No? Okay. Thank you so much. All right. We'll end here. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow is Radhastami. As far as I know, there'll be no celebration. No one can come to Mangala Arti, but I guess people can come to the greeting of the deities. And then in the afternoon, there'll be it'll be the regular Sanafi schedule at 4:15 with a very sumptuous feast in honor of Radha. So, Hare Krishna.